pastor has been talking recently about the church. And that's what I want to follow up on, because if there's one thing I love, it's I love the church. Now, when we talk about church, where did the church begin? See, I ask some questions and it gets us thinking. And if we really think about it, the seeds for the church are in the Old Testament. They're called the people of God. And that was just in a seed form. It was given birth by Jesus himself when he called the first 12 disciples. Now listen carefully. He called 12 disciples. Can anybody name the 12 disciples? Well, I'll name them for you. There were 12 disciples Jesus called to help him. Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, his brother, John, Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon, Judas, and Bartholomew. Now, Jesus called one of them a devil. So we know that on earth, there is no perfect church. But church, I want to tell you something. One day, the church will be perfect. And there's no more sin, no more grief, no more sorrow and heartache and pain. When we are gathered in his kingdom. So Jesus called his church together, first 12, and then they multiplied and became 120. And then the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. We talked about that, studied about that. And we know that the Holy Spirit is what empowers the church for service and ministry. He's our comforter. He's our peace. He's our wisdom. He's the one that leads us day by day. Now, those that are members of the church are members of the church by birth. You are born again into the fellowship of the church. And when we talk about church, we talk about what Jesus gave his life for. He bought the church with his blood. Now, I want you to get that hymn book in front of you. And we're going to turn to number 350. We're not going to sing it, but we're going to read it. Because it's powerful. It tells us all about the church. Number 350. Who wants to read the first verse? This is participatory. Okay, read the first one for us, Laura. Okay, who wants to read verse 2? Okay, Larry.
Elect from every nation, yet one for all the earth. Her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace in due.
Okay, who wants to read verse 3? Lisa, read for
the toil and tribulation and tumult of her war. She wants the consummation of peace forevermore, till with the vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest.
Indeed. The church. The church is the people of God, the body of Christ, the community of love, the family of forgiveness, and God's redeeming agent in society. God has not assigned salvation and redemption to anybody else except his church. So when we talk about church, we're talking about what Jesus loved and what he died for, what he gave himself for. And I want us to turn to Luke chapter 21, and we're going to read some passages there. Luke 21. I'm going to begin reading with verse 8. And he said, "See to it that you are not misled, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them." When you hear the roars and disturbances, do not be terrified. For those things must take place first, but the end does not follow immediately. Then, he continued by saying to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes, and in various places plagues and famine. And there will be terror and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you, delivering you to the synagogues and prison, bringing you before kings and governments for my name's sake. It will lead to an opportunity for you to testimony. So make up your mind not to prepare beforehand to defend yourself. For I will give you utterances and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. But you will be betrayed even by parents, brothers and relatives and friends, and put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. Yet not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation is near. Then those who are in the Judea must flee to the mountains, and those who are in the midst of the city must leave. And those who are in the country must not enter the city, because there are days of vengeance, so that all things which are written will be fulfilled. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress upon the land and wrath to this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all the nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." Now let's read down to verse 28. "There will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and in the earth dismay among nations, in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting from fear and the expectations of the things which are coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when you see these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your head, because your redemption is drawing near." Praise the Lord. Now, I've got several words I wanted to share with you. And you know that I like alliteration, so that way you can remember them. If you want to write them down, that'd be a blessing. You can study them later. They all begin with T. In verse 8, Scripture says, "Don't be misled, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them." These are the times that we need to be cognizant that the Lord is in control. The Lord is working out his plan. The Lord is going to bring all this to conclusion in his time. So when we talk about the church is in the time of Jesus, and we are privileged, blessed to live today. These times are exciting to live in the church age. So the time of the kingdom, I want you to know about the kingdom. Jesus said, "The kingdom is among you, but it is also coming." It's here, but it's not here. All here, it's coming. There's more yet to be. And so that ought to spur our imagination and thrill our hearts that we know that the kingdom is now, but it's coming more. It's going to be more and more and more. It's going to be blessed. We're going to have joy unspeakable. Peter says, "I'm full of glory." Verse 9 says, "When you hear these things, wars and disturbances, do not be terrified." I'm going to told you that we're going to participate, so I'm going to ask you some questions. What terrifies you? Not being ready.
My children not being saved.
Yes. I don't want to my life to end in disgrace. I'm terrified that I might bring shame and disgrace upon Jesus. I want to be godly. I want to live holy. I want my life to be a witness and a testimony to the Lord. And I think about my human nature and my flesh, and it's easy to just get scared of it. A Christian should not live that way. We don't live in terror, but we live by faith. I like what they say in the gun lobby. They say we walk by faith, but we shoot by sight. So we're walking by faith, and we walk in obedience to the Lord. But, you know, there's terror, and there's also troubles. Look in verse 10. Then he continued by saying to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." Troubles. You know what? That's happening. When?
Now.
Now. We're living in troubled times, but it's the blessing of the church to be alive so we can radiate the glory of Jesus Christ to a broken, disturbed, and wrecked world. What did Jesus say in John 8:32? You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth. Walk in the truth. And don't be discouraged by the troubles that we're going to go through. Now, listen carefully, church. We're going to go through some troubled times. And they're going to be terrible. They're going to be trials. Look at verse 11. And there will be great earthquakes, and in various places, plagues and famines, and there will be terror and great signs from heaven. There's going to be terror. There's going to be trials. There's going to be troubles. Here's the question now. Are you ready? That's a probing question. Think about it. Are you ready to meet those troubled, trying, terrible times? Because, church, listen carefully, they are coming. And we need to be settled in our own mind and in our own heart and in our own spirit that we're going to be faithful to the Lord. I've made up my mind. Come what may, I'm going to stick with Jesus. Amen? Okay. Look in verse 12. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you, delivering you to the synagogues and prison, bringing you before kings and governments for my name's sake. The reason they're going to bring you before kings and governors and because of prison and all that trouble that you're going to go through is because why? You've been sharing Jesus. Now listen carefully. The world hates the church because the church exposes the sins of the world. And we don't need to be conformed to the world. Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to be settled on the issues of where we stand and where we're going to stand when the troubles and trials and tribulations come. Your faith will be tested. Are you going to fail the test? Think about it. Okay. I like verse 13. It will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. Church, I love to hear people's testimony. So tonight, would you give your testimony to the church tonight? Right now, just stand up and testify. It says, it will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. Well, here's your opportunity. What has God done for you recently? I asked one of my accountability partners, what has God taught you this week? What's he done for you? You need to testify. Somebody stand up and testify. Come on.
Lord, don't be shy.
you, Michelle. Thank you. Indeed. What is your testimony? Yeah. Our testimony is our witness to the world. They may reject it, they may deny it, they may oppose it, but no matter what the reaction of the world is, give your testimony and share it daily. I've been cursed out. I've been called everything except a Christian gentleman. I remember I was in Chicago one time in an elevator, and there was a whole bunch of, it's my favorite place to witness anyway.
They can't get away.
They can't get, it's a captive audience, yeah. And I said, have you heard the good news today? Let me tell you about Jesus. And there was a man in the back of that elevator said, he called me every kind of name, and he said, when this elevator stops, you get your blankety blank off here, and I don't want to hear it anymore. I always speak the name of Jesus because there's power in the name of Jesus. And he was upset and cost me every kind of name and cursed me out and told me to leave and get out of his face and all that kind of stuff. Just ugly. But that's what the Bible says. They're going to persecute you and take you to prison. Are you ready to go to prison for the Lord? You've been in good company with Paul and many of the other disciples. They were martyred. They were beaten. They were left for dead. So we need to make up our mind. The Church of the Living God has got a mission. And our mission is the world to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Now, I don't want to put guilt on anybody. I want to say let's praise the Lord for our testimony, because if you've been saved, you have a testimony to share with the world. Your testimony should include three things. Quickly, what your life was before you met Jesus. Second, how did you come to know Jesus? Who told you about Jesus? And third, what's your life been like after you met Jesus? How have you lived differently after you met Jesus? I want to tell you, the Lord transformed my life as he has your life. And your testimony can be, I was angry, alone, unloved, hated, and feared. I was a holy terror. I was kicked out of school as incorrigible. Ugly. But a missionary from Korea named J.G. Goodwin preached a sermon and told me about Jesus. He talked about Jesus in a way I never heard anybody talk about God. And I said, if he's telling the truth, I want to know that God. I don't know it, God, at all. And here's what I prayed then when I went forward. Lord, if you're real, take away my anger and my feeling of being alone and unloved and hated and feared. Take all that junk and garbage out of my life. And I said, God, if you're really real, give me a love for people. Because right now, I don't even love myself. I don't love anybody. I hated everybody. And my testimony to you tonight is God gave me a love for me. I love people. That's why I like to witness, because I love them. I don't want people to go to hell. I want people to go to heaven and know Jesus. He is my Savior and my Lord. I'm glad to be a child of God. And it's not anything I did, it's what he did for me, and all the praise and glory belongs to him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, what happened after I got saved? God called me to preach. He had the audacity to tell me I was preaching the gospel. And he gave me the privilege of sharing the gospel on 7 continents of the world, been all over the world sharing the gospel. The joy of my life is to sit down with somebody and talk to them about the Lord. Whether it be at the restaurant, whether it be at the Christmas party for the toys for Jesus, whether it be in a casual conversation when people come by the house, whatever, I like to tell people about Jesus. Tonight, would you just determine in your heart, tell it right now, I want to give my testimony to somebody this week and tell them about Jesus. Make that a firm commitment and a decision that you're going to do that. Testimony. Look at verse 14. I love this verse. So make up your mind not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves. Don't plan out you're going to rebuke and refute what they say. Why? Because God is going to give you the words that he wants you to say in that very moment. Can you think about that? God will give you the words to say that he wants you to tell those people that are persecuting you. For I will give you utterance and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. Think about that. God will give you the right words to say. You say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, don't worry about it. God will give them to you. You know what? If you read the Word of God daily, if you hide His Word in your heart, it'll be easy to speak the Word of God when you are put in that situation. What did David say? I love the Lord because he heard my cry. He set my feet on a solid rock and lifted me out of the miry clay. Wow. Think about that. David could praise the Lord and give God glory because of what he's done. Now we're talking about the church. Let's go back over them so far right now. The time of the church is now. The terrifying things in the world are going to be terrible. there's going to be trouble. There's going to be trials. And there's going to be testing of our faith. But it gives opportunity for us to give our testimony to the world. So make up your mind not to prepare ahead of time to defend yourself. Now look at verse 15. For I will give you utterance and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. But you will be betrayed even by parents and others. I'll read them more in just a moment, but there's betrayed. Treason. They're going to betray you, lie about you. They're going to say ugly things about you, and it's going to be treason. They'll pretend to be your friend and stab you in the back. So you can testify that your friends have betrayed you. And church, let me tell you clearly, it hurts. It's grievous. It's painful. When you think you have a friend who betrays your trust and it's treason. You remember what Jesus said? He said, in the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So, make up your mind, even if you're betrayed, even if there's treason, you remain faithful. Now, church, that's not easy. I'm not giving you a simple, pat answer. But we need to make up our minds that we're going to be faithful to the Lord, even if we are betrayed, even if there's trials and troubles and tribulations and testings. They're going to come. So make up your mind that you're going to be faithful to the Lord. You'll be betrayed by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. I want to be real clear tonight. I love living. I don't want to die. But if it comes to me denying the Lord, I choose death rather than denying the Lord, because I know there's a better life on the other side. Hallelujah. We have a hope that transcends death. We are more than conquerors. We are overcomers. And I'm getting to the best part now. Just stay with me. I'm getting to the best part. The church is going to be, look at verse 17 through 19. And you will be hated by all because of my name. yet not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. That speaks to me about triumph. We are going to be triumphant. The Church of the Living God is triumphant. Let me give you a secret. In the end, we win. And it's not because of what we did, it's because of what Jesus did for us. Do you like to win? I love to win. I hate to lose. I just do. That's just my nature. If I want to play a game, I want to win that game. If I get in a fight, I'm going to win that fight if I can. The Church of the Lord Jesus is a glorious, triumphant, victorious church. And we have the best is yet to be. Some of you heard about the preacher that got invited to go to the luncheon after the preached. And the wife of the host family said, keep your forks after the meal. Why do I want her to keep the fork? Because she said the best is yet to come. Dessert. How many of you like desserts? Yeah, I do too. Apple pie, ice cream. Ooh. I can get into some good desserts. Triumphed. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you living a triumphant life today? Are you defeated? Do you feel abandoned? Are you feeling alone and unloved and rejected? Look up. Lift up your head. Look what that says. I love that verse. Let's go back and pick it up. Lift up your head. Wow. Not a hair of your head will be perishing. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. But you are to see Jerusalem surrounded by armies. They recognize that her desolation is near. Now, this is what I understand about the church age. Right now we're living in the church age. And during the church age, the Gentiles are traveling in Jerusalem. How many of you have been to Jerusalem? I've had the privilege of being there 3 times. Traveled all over that Holy Land. I want you to know that there are Gentiles traveling the streets of Jerusalem. They're following the way of the cross. Did you ever go that path? Did you walk the... Yeah. The Garden of Gethsemane. Bethlehem, Petra, all over that area, Tel Aviv. And right now, there's bombs being dropped just recently, fighting, wars, and struggles. But God is still in control. And God is going to be triumphant over everything else. He's going to be victorious. And the Church of the Living Jesus Christ is going to be victorious with him. So we can say hallelujah. Verse 22, because these are the days of vengeance, so that all things which are written will be fulfilled. Hello. Everything that is written in the Old Testament about the church, the people of God, the body of Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the community of love, the family of forgiveness, and God's redeeming agent in society. God gave the church the responsibility of sharing the gospel with the whole world. We are God's redeeming agent. No one else, the church. He said, go into all the world and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Church, tonight, we have a mission team that we're supporting from Fairview Baptist Church. There's 10 of them in Kenya. Let me give you a brief synopsis about, I think about 15 years ago, pastor was leading worship of a church in the community of Kimbara. And they met under a tree. They had about 30 people under this tree, and he was preaching to them. And the Lord spoke to our mission team, and they decided that they would build a church there in the community, a building. They started the church, built the church, and let me give you a quick update. That church was invited another team to come over, and a young man named Dylan Jones, fell in love with those Kenyan kids. He went over and played basketball and all kinds of things with them. When he came home the next week, he had a car accident and he was killed. So they built a school and named it the Dylan Jones Academy. Today, there's over 200 children in that school. And listen carefully now. They are taking the gospel to the village and they are transforming the whole village. God is doing a work in that village. And when I was there, I preached to over 1,000 people in an open-air meeting. I'm telling you, God is honoring his word. And God is blessing the people through the work and ministry of the church. we have the privilege of sending out missionaries. Hello? Great missions endeavor. Now let's skip down quickly. Verse 28. But when these things begin to take place, straighten up, lift up your head, because your redemption is drawing nigh. Straighten up. Lift up your head. Breathe deeply. We are triumphant, victorious church. And when the Lord comes back, I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. What about you? What do you want to hear him say to you? I can tell you I want to hear those words from the Lord. But in order for that to happen, you know what? I got to live right. Walk right, talk right, do right. Be thou faithful even unto death, and I'll give you the crown of righteousness that does not fade away, the scripture says. Let me encourage you tonight. Pray, read the word, and share the gospel. Three things. Pray, read the word, and share the gospel. Talk to somebody about the Lord this week. And I'll be glad to see you on Sunday. Let's pray together.